Welcome to the Retired Excited Podcast. Retired Excited, the show where we give retired and want to be retired folk a look at how great retired life can be. Here we talk to men and women who are happily retired and loving their life. We explore the techniques, activities, beliefs, and excitement of these happy retirees and examine how every Tom, Dick, and Mary can benefit from their experience. Together, we will delve into what retired happiness really looks like and how anyone can achieve it.
Here is your host, Henry Shapiro.
Hey folks, Henry here, Retired Excited, the show providing inspiration for people who are nearly retired, newly retired, or say they're never going to retire. If you're nearing retirement and fearful of what lies ahead, you don't need to be. If you're already retired and wondering how to fill your days, then this show is exactly for you. Here we talk to retired people doing things that make them happy. Things from stamp collecting to cruising, from dancing to touring the world on a motorbike. There's an exciting stage of life to be enjoyed after full-time work, and it's got nothing to do with your financial situation or social position. We talk to everyday retired people who are living the life they want, and we talk to a few professionals to get expert advice. And I chip in with some of my own experiences. Hi there, folks, and welcome to episode number 31 of Retired Excited. Today we're going to talk about cycling, bicycling. I wanted to find someone who was retired who could talk to us about that, and so I went down to the local bicycle shop to see if they had a bicycling club or some such, and I lucked in. I found a man who has spent his life thinking about, talking about being involved with cycling in all its different forms. A really interesting man. His name is Mark Hepworth. And due to a strange occurrence, a mate of his bought a bike in a pub in England many, many years ago, and it changed both of their lives. In his time, he's had unbelievable adventures on that bike and other bikes, and that's what we're going to talk about here. We're going to talk about his adventures. We're going to talk about the people that he's met, the pleasure that he's had from being involved with bikes all his life, the different sorts of bikes. If you've never ridden a bike, or it's been many, many years, like it has been for me, I ride motorbikes, but I haven't ridden a push bike for many years. He recommends the sort of bike I should buy if I want to get into it, and the enjoyment that you can get following the trails that you'll find around almost any city, and particularly in Melbourne and in Australia. There are miles and miles, kilometres and kilometres of bike tracks to be enjoyed on your own, with the family, with clubs. It's a great, great sport. So let's talk to Mark. Good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
Very good indeed, thank you.
What have you been doing today?
I've been working in the Ivanhoe Cycle Shop down opposite the Hallam Hotel, selling lots of bikes.
Is it going well?
It's going very well, actually. For this time of year, seeing the weather's cold, and it was raining today.
It's been a horrible day.
It really has, but they were still coming in buying bikes, so it was good.
The bike business in Victoria, anyhow, seems to be picking up over the last few years.
Yes.
Lots more people riding bikes. What do you put it down to?
Basically, 1.3 million bikes were actually sold in Australia last year, which is incredible, and similar figures the year before. And I basically put it down to a few things. One, naturally, it's all the benefits of cycling, the fitness, and so on. But also, I put it down to the increase in cycle paths and rail trails, without a doubt. Yeah. Now, for families, people who are scared of the Princes Highway can now cycle from Lilydale to Warburton rail trail, 40 kilometres, without touching a road once. There is 1,300 kilometres in Victoria alone of cycle paths, and Bright to Wangaratta being a famous one, of course. Yeah. And I think the longest one is 121 kilometres, and that's a very big one as well. But yes, they're all over the place.
Does that change show up in the style of bike that you're selling?
Yes, it does. Because to do that type of cycling, a cycle path rail trail, which most of these railway lines were shut down in 1965, but from 1977 onwards, they were reopened as cycle paths, and they've been making them for 30 years. You need a bike called a hybrid bike to do that. A hybrid is a cross between a road bike and a mountain bike, thinner tyres, you know, but tougher wheels, and used for what I do, which is sort of world touring as well, and many people come and see us about that. But yes, so women, men, and even children can buy these styles of bikes. And like I said, anything on a cycle path, no problem.
All right. Well, what we're here to talk about today is people who are retired. Mm. But I just want to go into your background a little bit first so people understand who you are. Mm. What have you been doing before? Well, I should say to the listeners that you're working not full-time at the moment. Mm. You're working part-time.
Mm, that's right.
But before that...
Semi-retired.
Before you started with Ivanhoe Cycles, what have you been doing through life?
Basically, all my childhood, I was had a very adventurous childhood in the Scouts, absolutely brilliant. My father and a natural history expert, so always out in nature. But at 18 years of age, it all changed because a friend of mine came through the door with a tandem bicycle. And he said, I said, where did you get that? And he said, I bought it off a guy down the pub and for a little bit less money than normal. I said, what are we going to do with this? And he said, let's cycle to Paris on it. And a few weeks later, a bit of organization, we put a tent on the back of it, some sleeping bags, and cycled from London all the way to Paris.
And had you been on a tandem before?
Never, and we'd never been abroad before as well. So this was very interesting.
Yeah.
And the French were really friendly to us. The adventure was fantastic. And on the Champs-Élysées in Paris, so beautiful at the time, I said to my friend, if we don't do anything else with our lives, to give our lives a bit of a purpose, I said, let's cycle. Let's say we've cycled across 100 countries in the world over the next lifetime. And so we turned around and we came home, worked very hard, went back to Paris and cycled all the way to Istanbul across Europe. It was exactly, I remember, 2001 miles.
Whoa.
I remember that figure that we crossed over the 2000. And it was an incredible journey across 7 countries in Europe, the old Czechoslovakia, the old Hungary, places like this. The beautiful cities of Prague.
Roughly what year are we talking about?
We're talking actually in 1980. So a lot of special visas had to be gained because it was quite Eastern Bloc at the time. And in fact, across parts of Czechoslovakia, we actually were escorted by soldiers who had to camp with us, two guys camp with us just so we didn't deviate off and get caught for spying or whatever. But eventually we arrived in Istanbul and it was just like something out of Indiana Jones film, swinging lanterns and back streets and men playing backgammon. And it was amazing. And we were hooked then. And we came home, worked 9 months now and put all our money into this adventures and stuff. And we went back to Istanbul right across Turkey, which is stunningly beautiful and a lovely hot country in the Mediterranean down there. Stunning. And ended up in Syria and obviously hit a time when it wasn't so bad as it is now. And then kept doing that. We kept flying back to the last airport every 9 months and we would cycle 4,000, 5,000 kilometres across the Earth's surface into southern Russia and then across northern India and into down the length of India and so on and so forth. And eventually, 12 years later, there was a line placed around the world across America, of course, and so on.
Have you any stories about the people you met?
Yes, I think the funniest is people were incredibly friendly wherever we went. You hear all these stories on the news and everything, but we never saw any of it. People wanted you in their house, wanted to feed you up. And to give you an example, the 8 months that it took us to do the length of India actually turned, I didn't lose any weight, in fact, put 4 kilograms on. Because every Indian gentleman will bring you home to meet his lovely wife. She will feed you up like your grandmother does. And then, of course, they will invite all their neighbours and relations, which they have a lot of. And no one's allowed in an Indian house without bringing food. So we would leave pretty much pregnant every night and so on. So they were absolutely incredible. So I've done certain countries and hardly never lost any weight as hot or... Because just the hospitality of the people, incredible, wanting
really
you in there.
Yeah.
And the poorer the country, going across Mongolia, places like that, would give you their last grain of rice just to have you in their house to, you knew you were going to be their story for the next 10 years, these crazy cyclists. And it wasn't just me and my friend. I would take other friends who wanted to join me for their 2 weeks.
So are you still on the tandem or you're just on regular bikes?
No. A tandem is an item that you will either love or hate each other at the end of it. And so we decided to take 2 simple bikes. But again, not expensive, just $600 hybrids again and bags on the back, thing. So
is your friend still a friend?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. And in fact, he's traveled a lot separately. He lives in America now, and I think he's actually done about 86 countries in his travel, some with a bike, some with his His trade, his job, and everything. He's very high up in the cocktail trade, so he has a good life.
In
the cocktail trade. Designing cocktail bars of the world, would you believe? Yeah, very big business.
Job.
So, yeah, what a job. Terrible job, but someone's got to do it, yeah. And that was, again, wherever I was sat, whoever I had taken with, there is moments in your life where you're sat in a bar looking out over the sunset in Acapulco or... stood there in the back streets of Buenos Aires, and you'd often chink a cup of coffee with your friend you were with and say, it's a rough life, but someone's got to do it, and so on. But yeah, but it was absolutely incredible. And like I said, what we hadn't really realized in Paris was that we had given ourselves a purpose. And the great Michael Parkinson, the chat show host, actually once said, anybody you admire in life who's done something, whether it be David Bowie or Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones, whoever your heroes are, they had two things in common. They all had a purpose, and they worked harder than the rest, obviously, to get there. And me and my friend had to work very hard to get the finances naturally to do it.
That's the perfect segue into a bit, which is retired people.
Yes.
And very often retired people have a purpose during their working life, and it might be their work, but when they retire... gone, and they're lost.
Correct.
Anything you want to say about that?
Yeah, very much so, because what happens is you're dead right. It's as soon as they retire, the thing they might have moaned about all their life, their work, suddenly didn't realize you had friends at work, you had a purpose to get up every morning. And when you retire, sometimes after a while, the novelty wears off, and where am I left now, and so on. So sometimes I've actually done lectures on, to many groups of people from schools and everything. And I explain that if you find your 100 or your top 50 or top 10, and it doesn't have to be as crazy as what I've done, around the world, the top 100 caravan sites of Victoria, what a life you would have for the rest of your days, on the planet for the next 30, 40 years, hopefully, the top 100 cycling holidays maybe of Australia or the world. I've got people out there doing the top 100 cities of the world, the top 100 cricket matches of the world, or Australia or Victoria. And I've got couples out there, 60, 70-year-old couples who are doing the top 100.
Still young people, by my
Still very, very young people, indeed. Exactly. We nippers. And they are doing the top 100 bed and breakfasts of Victoria. What a life. Do you know what I mean? We have apps on the computer now, Airbnb.
When you say I have got people out there, just explain what you mean by that.
Sure, because in my talks, you can see it hits a nerve nicely in a nice way with people. So they come up and say to me, what should be my 100? What should be my purpose? And I will into a little interview with them, say, what did you like doing maybe? Oh, you liked playing golf. Had an email recently from a gentleman in Jamaica who apparently I talked to 20 years ago, and he's doing the top 100 golf sites of the world, and he's in Jamaica on his 66th golf course having a wonderful time, he said. So it's about, and so people come, and I find if they're a couple and they might like doing the B&Bs, or in England, I've got friends, my parents are doing the top 100 National Trust properties, and they're, my dad's 85 now and mother's about 75, and they've done over the 250 National Trust houses, they've done 166, you see.
I've got to ask. Personally, for you now, what is your purpose? What are you chasing?
So basically, still the purpose goes on. Do you know what I mean? I've done 75 countries, so there is still more to do.
Yeah.
And in fact, I have a beautiful 8-year-old boy now, had him later on in life, which is wonderful. And so when he's grown up, I will obviously take him on the tandem to these countries. But even with him as a young lad, we have done Singapore, and we've been back to Britain and Europe. Yeah, so it's...
So
it's,
the cycling, the 100 countries, that's still on
still,
the go.
Is still going on and everything. If I had to send anybody, people often ask me, I don't want to do the length of South America. Naturally, it is one of the toughest environments ever. Patagonia is beautiful, but tough as and everything. I've actually got no hair, by the way, listeners, so all the wind got blown off in Patagonia, I'm sure of it. But basically, the ongoing purpose is still there, you must have this ongoing purpose if you, want to explore. Or, of course, people say I'm very happy, very positive, very buzzy, so it must have done something. I've always got something to look forward to, the next trip. Next year, we're going to Japan.
Is that a biggie for you, to have something to look forward to?
Very much so. It's massive. A Buddhist monk actually once told me, he said, you've actually discovered one of the great secrets in life, to give yourself a purpose of any type. And I'm not even saying the purpose I gave myself might have been right, but at least I gave myself one thing to aim for. And I have lots of people doing my favorite, the top 100 cities of the world, you know, in the summer, and a lot of them are retired, you know. And yes. And I've got many people doing things like these holidays on boats down the Rhine or, you know, wherever. And I've got many people, there's lots of cycling holidays around the world for older people. And so across, you know, you do just 30 kilometers a day, you know, and you get to camp. And like the Great Victoria Bike Ride, one of the greatest events there is in the world, which is here, right here in Victoria. Yes. And I met a lady the other day who's done 26 of them, and she's about 60 now. And I do know in the RACV magazine, one of the guys had done about all of them, you know, all, which is Gracious about 35, you know. And so these people, and you can see when they come in the shop, they have a little bit of buzz about them, interesting stories and so on. Yeah. So.
Well, now there's two types of purpose. There is what you could say is a higher purpose. There's many people who ride. They might just ride for fun. They might ride the way you ride for a purpose.
Mm.
But then they might say, all right, I'm going to ride to Canberra, and they get sponsored for $1 a kilometre.
Yep, brilliant.
And so they have a higher purpose, which is to raise money for cancer or whatever it may
be. Very much so. Very much so.
Is that something that features in your life?
Yeah, very much so. We quickly learned, in fact, because this type of journeys get us into the local paper. And I've always had this thing for the guide dog for the blind. Two friends of mine in England were blind, so I saw how much the dog did them good. So one of the second trip across Turkey, we would ask companies in England, would you like to donate and, you know, and so on and be part of. And in fact, we quickly learnt that if we were to put the name on the T-shirt or, you know, or in the paper, the local paper of their company, they would donate more.
Right.
So we were able to. And then one of the craziest trips I've ever done in my life is it wasn't in the Himalayas, which I've been to and everything, was in fact, we saw the plight of the Romanian AIDS children in Romania. I think the year, don't quote me, was 1989. And Ceausescu, the evil leader of the country, had been ousted. And it was on the news, and there was all these AIDS children in orphanages. So me and two friends, a guy called Simon Ford and Adam, we cycled from London on January the 1st in midwinter all the way to Romania across Europe. And I've got photographs of me hacking through snow and ice and everything. And we just, normally you can cycle 100K a day at that age, we were. But we were doing 40 kilometres a day through this. But we got there to Romania and we ended up staying in these orphanages for and raising a lot of money for nearly 5 months, helping out and so on. So it's it was amazing to do. And my friends Simon and Adam were fantastic with the
it's
children.
A whole other aspect of
it was,
cycling.
It was. And again, like you say, you can take that one step further by the higher purpose. And I will say, if you are doing something for charity, sponsors will step forward and actually start paying for your own trip. You know, they want to be part of it and so on. You know, in other words, we'll pay for the trip, you raise the money, and fantastic. So it all has, if you're raising money for charities, has a very positive.
Have you got to be good? Have you got, when I say good, have you got to be a good cyclist to be able to do this?
Not at all. Not at all. In fact, I was once approached by a guy in a bar I was in Bath, where I used to come from. And he said, it's all right for you. You have a lovely bicycle and the right kit. And to prove him wrong, I cycled from St. David's Head to Lowestoft, which is the width of Great Yarmouth, the width of Britain, 435 miles, I remember, and literally did it on my grandfather's 1938 Runwell sit-up-and-beg-rod-brake bike with a canvas bags on the back, army bags, and with an old army sleeping bag out of an army shop. And just to prove it is attitude. And the average person every day, this is one of my great philosophies, can easily walk 10 kilometres over a whole day. And that, of course, if you multiply that by a year, that is 3,650-odd miles and staff or kilometres, whichever way you do it. And that is, in fact, the distance from London all the way to Istanbul. So anybody who says they can't do things, you know, it's just a matter of time, if you can have the time off. And obviously the attitude and so on. And in fact, most people I could take right now of all ages and get 30 kilometres of cycling, just casual, you know, there's many retired cycling clubs in Melbourne I've seen cycling around over 55 or over 65. And they all turn out 30 kilometres a day, strolling along at the slowest pace ever with lots of T-stops. And if they did that daily, they could end up doing a tour. So no, you don't have to be fit at all. It's just attitude of getting on bike and having a bit of fun. And lots of T-stops do help, you know. So
In fact, my brother, who's, 4 years older than I am, I'm a bit porky, listeners, but my brother's skinny as, and he does about 80 kilometres 3 times a week just with a group of friends and has fun. They go somewhere, have a cup of coffee, ride back again.
Yes, exactly
love
right.
It. Yeah,
exactly right. In fact, the coffee stop I did find, or the tea stop, was in fact the most important thing. My friend and I on our first trip, very inexperienced, kept trying to do too many kilometres. It was all about getting to Istanbul to prove to the world we could do it. And we quickly learnt, like a great philosopher, Stevenson, once said, it's not the destination, it's the journey.
Yes.
So we actually said, for every 20 kilometres, let's stop and chat to the locals in a coffee bar, in a roadhouse, in a bar.
Yes.
And they were the greatest experiences and so on. So it was amazing.
Can you tell us about any of those?
Yeah, basically, one of the funniest ones was across America, because I quickly noticed, cycling from Seattle all the way to New York, via Toronto and along the Canadian borders and so on, that my English accent, if elevated to almost royalty, you know, and stuff terribly nice, would it get an incredible reaction when you stopped out of the, would there be any possibility of a Budweiser beer, my man? Thank you so much. And suddenly, oh my God, you know, fantastic, you know, and people would get really into it and would put you up at night. And out of the 74 days it took us to get across America, we only camped 5 nights with people desperate to put you up in their houses.
Right.
And absolutely incredible and so on. I had wrote in America to the cycle. This is in the days of letters and stamps and so on. I had wrote to the Cycle Touring Club of America and asked for accommodation across the route I was doing. And 44 people wrote back, and some were convenient to stay with and so on. But one night, very interestingly, I went down this long path in the Rocky Mountains, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know, where am I? And I was going to meet this guy, and I knew he'd been in the Vietnam War, and he had this log cabin, and I thought, if I'm going to get killed here, this is it. Do you know what I mean?
And stuff
buried in the back garden. And he opened the door, and he stood just I was a shadow. He was an enormous guy. And he turned around and he said, I am the dog and you are the wolf. And I thought, yeah, should be dead in 5 minutes and everything. But what he was actually saying, when we had a cup of coffee, you know, I'm sat there with his big knife at the side of him. And he told me there is an old fable that says about how a wolf comes down from the mountain and comes to a dog on the side of an estate, you know, a housing estate. And the dog is tied up with a chain, naturally the chain long enough to get into his hut and into his, basically into his bowl, you know, bowl. And the wolf is a bit wet and the dog says, I am never wet. My chain has allowed me to get into my house and everything. And then the next day the wolf comes down, he's a bit hungry, and the dog says, I am never hungry, my chain has allowed me to get to my bowl that my master feeds me twice a day. And on the third day when the wolf comes down and says, you know, the dog's bragging again, and the wolf turns around and says, celebrate this fate, O dog, for I do not want a kingdom if it costs me my freedom. And the wolf turns and walks back up in the mountain. Now, what this man was saying to me was, in fact, I am up to my eyeballs in mortgage and, you know, house, and you are cycling across America. Which one of us and stuff? Now, I am not saying that he actually said, I'm not saying don't get a house, don't get a mortgage. You know, we all have that and stuff, myself included. But it is keep it low. Do you know, allow time to.
Yeah.
You'll learn that possessions sometimes can trap you into, you know. So, again, a lot of my friends have, you know, kept their lives a bit small car, small house, you know, and then were able to have holidays, even 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, but afford them.
We better talk about bicycles.
Yes, my favourite subject.
We're talking here about, for people who are retired.
Yes, yes.
What bicycles are suitable for people? Here, I'll give you a scenario.
Yeah, right.
I've retired.
Yes.
I'd like to go riding.
Yes.
I can ride because I used to ride when I was 16 years old. I think I'll go, I'll try riding again. And I come and see you. What do you tell me?
Basically, I would suggest there is 3 forms of cycling. There is mountain biking, which you've heard of. They've got very thick tyres. I'm not going to lie to you. They're hard work to go along a gravelled path, but wonderful up in the woods. There is the racing cycling scene. Kiss goodbye to the mortgage. But not cheap at about $1,500 to get per bike plus up to, can go to thousands. And even you have to buy all the equipment for that. But if you have the money to do it, wow, what a fun time. you'll have flying down Beach Road, you know, and so on. But the one that I get most people into is one that, in fact, out of the three is the cheapest. It's called a bike's called a hybrid. It's halfway between. It's $600 to $800, gets you a wonderful bike strong enough to carry a weight of anybody of the 80 kilogram, you know, plus mark. Not that I'm that weight, I'm way lighter. He jokes and all this, thank you. But yeah, the $600 to $800 hybrid, that bike at that price, is basically strong enough to take the cycle paths, the rail trails, but also fast enough to cycle 20 kilometers to commute, you know, into the city and so on. So it's a really good, you can put a rack on the back, some waterproof bags. Do you know what I mean? Your bag for the day with your Mac in and sandwiches and so on. And it's a great bike to explore on, you know. And it's also a great bike because you haven't spent too much money to work out whether the cycling is for you. You know, is you've not spent too much money. But also you can use that bike in normal clothes. You don't have to dress up in Leica and so on to go down to the shops on to see a friend for a drink at a cafe. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a wonderful all-round bike. And it comes with a bit of front suspension on to take the knocks and the bruises out of the hands. And they're very comfy indeed. And you can add a comfortable saddle to that bike.
When I was 16, bikes used to have back pedal brakes.
Yes.
Do they still do that?
They still do that now in the children's market, you know, in the first bike a child has in Australia, a Malvern Star, are still made since
Ida Teeling.
Spring. There you go, yes, yeah, right, those. Beautiful. But in the adult bike now, you have two brakes, left and right and back and front, you know.
Yeah.
And they are very simple to use. And what's great about cycling compared, I am fascinated by the history of cycling, compared with old bikes, they're so much lighter, easier to use. When you squeeze the brakes on, they actually work, you know, and so on. So, yes, and it's better to have a back brake for control because you can spin the wheels, of course, at a junction, the pedals at a junction, you know, to get into the right position, whereas the back pedaling brake, that was the downside of it. And all wheels these days tend to be quick release, so you can take them out, fix a puncture. And by the way, anybody scared of cycling because of punctures, you can actually buy tyres called Marathon Pluses by a company called Shawvel, and they're the best puncture resistant tyres in the world, and not cheap at $79, but so worth your while to stop all the bindies in Australia, you know, which there seems to be a few.
I see the young groovy people getting around town on bikes with no gears, so it's just the pedals directly connected to the back wheel.
Correct.
What's all that about?
So there is a massive scene out there now, and in fact, magazines called Treadly and so on cover this scene, and it's actually called the urban bike scene.
Yeah.
And what that is, it's for people exploring cities, stopping off at cafes in the cities, and they actually get these, as you say, single-speed bikes. Some are called fixes, where you do pedal backwards to brake, but others have two brakes on them, but still single-speed. And it's all about looking like the bike is of old, but with some modern colours. Yeah. And in fact, people put things like Brooks leather saddles on them in horse chestnut brown, matching handlebar grips, and look in very cool indeed, sitting outside a street cab. And I, in fact, this is one of my favourite things to do because I love exploring, I like architecture and history. And so me and a few friends will explore, and it doesn't hurt that there's a tea stop or a lunch stop included, or an evening meal. But it is one of the best ways to, but you're dead right, it keeps it simple. Mm. The only trouble with a single speed, of course, hard work uphill.
Looks like real hard.
It really is, yeah. And but you can get off and do that horrible thing called walking, you know, if you wish, you know, stuff like that. But no, but yes, you're right.
Here I am. Mm. I've got my $800 bike.
Yes.
I don't have to buy the Lycras.
No. Nope.
What do I do next?
Sure.
I can ride.
Yes.
I don't know anybody else who rides. What do I do?
Right, okay. Thank goodness for the internet these days. There is, you can tap into the internet and look for various bike clubs of various ages. One of the most famous in the world, and there's one here in Melbourne, been privileged enough to do a lecture many years ago there, the Cycle Touring Club down in Melbourne. People of all ages, and they will send you off on rides to capacity of your fitness, and you can have a there's even a vintage bicycle owners club with bikes. Penny Farthings was fortunate enough to go along on one of those rides a few weeks ago in my tweed suit, of course, and so on. So that's what you do. You look up on the internet and try and find a club naturally within your area. But if not, then also, even if you're doing it on your own, there is a book in our shop and many other bike shops called Bike Paths and Rail Trails of Melbourne. It's $25. It's a spiral back spine. Mm-hmm. The gentleman and team who've put this together are incredible, and showing the 1,300 kilometres of rail trails mm-hmm. in Victoria and the 410 kilometres of cycle paths within Melbourne. There's probably more, but that book has that many in. And it's a very easy book to read. And they're on those routes. It shows, unfortunately, all where the vineyards are, the cafes and
worry.
And you'll often find as you cycle along, even on your own, you will start meeting fellow cyclists and chatting and so on, even when you stop and so on. So, yeah, these are the, you know, it's a very social sport if you get out there and do it. Yes, it really is.
Is that a big part of it? Is that the attraction for people, the social side of it?
I'd say on that score about 50-50. There's an incredible social scene with it. And of course, some people take it intensely seriously and buy in top of the range racing clubs and sit around on their beautiful $10,000 bikes and so on and race, of course, down Beach Road, as you know, at high speed or wherever out in the country. But the casual scene, the urban scene, you know, and exploring is just wonderful. But of course, the main thing is that it will actually make you fit. You know, it will keep you fit. It will the positive side of cycling. There's no negative side of
cycling. Well, let's talk about that whole side of it. I mentioned before, I'm just a little bit porky.
He's not Fred, is he?
Losing weight?
Yes.
Can it happen?
Very much so. The Japanese believe in a thing called flow. And and I've cycled the length of Japan and they're wonderful people. And I got to meet people who are 90, 95 years of age, these old Buddhist monks who spend their lives hiking and doing Tai Chi and all this. And they believe that the blood flows through life. The healthier you eat, of course, the blood will flow better. And of course, the more exercise you do, the blood, again, flowing better, clean, keeping your body clean. And they very much believe in that. And so there is no downside. Whether you cycle to the shops as opposed to jumping in your car for that 1K journey, I've got a 5-kilometre rule around my house I try to stick to. Unless the weather's atrocious, where I cycle to the shops, cycle to a friend, have a coffee, cycle to the cinema, and not feeling guilty about the popcorn too much and all that. So it's a very positive thing. It gets you out of the car scenario again. And another thing you can do is take the bike, get out of the car culture, by taking the bike to Hallam Station, then into the city on the train with your bike on the train, and then getting off in the
city.
Do
they let you do that?
Absolutely, absolutely. The only times you can't do it is in rush hour between 8 and 9 in the mornings.
Do you just take it in the carriage or do you put it in the back?
Nope, in the carriage. And in fact, the back carriage, talking of social, like you were talking about earlier, is there'll be 5 or 6 bikes and suddenly you'll get chatting to people. You know, it's a brotherhood and a sisterhood of of cycling. So again, I like your bike, mate. Very nice yours. Where'd you get yours from? And I've met some of the nicest people actually on the back of trains, you know, with their bicycles of all different types. And
so are there people who cycle just for health reasons?
I would
like
say
people walk for
very,
health reasons.
Very much so. In fact, I've had people come into the shop who never probably would have taken up cyclists without doctor's instructions of, you might have said you're a bit overweight or heart problems, we need you. And cycling and swimming are the only two body supportive sports in the world that have no pounding, like running's great for you and all that. Yeah. But it does. And in fact, we have a lot of people come in the shop. I've shot my knees to pieces from 40 years of running and so on. But cycling and swimming, incredibly good sports for you. The bike.
Cycling not hard on the knees?
No, not at all. Because the bike is supporting your weight, whatever weight that is. Mm-hmm. And in yours and my case, 60 kilograms. Thank you for agreeing. But basically, it is supporting your weight. And then if you choose to cycle slowly, you put it into an easy gear and you're still cycling faster than walking. Yes. But if you decide to put some effort into it, which is calorie burning, a little bit of effort, then you will again burn those calories and so on, and you'll fly along faster. Mm-hmm. And the best trick I learnt was to put a cheap $35, $55 speedo on your bike and look down at that speed each day and think, I can just get one more K out of this devil, you know, and everything. And it's a good training method, but you're also out. And like you said earlier, if you give yourself a purpose, a place to go that day, pin in the map, maybe, you know, I'm going to go and explore that new area, then it makes it really interesting and so on.
You've mentioned the monks in Japan
and
here and there. Do you meditate?
I don't, no. I tend to find when I'm on the bike, actually, I get, you know, you're cycling away and you get into your own zone and just, you know, it's very peaceful. And especially, like I said, if you're on a cycle path, rail trail, because you're not having to concentrate on traffic, of course. It's not peaceful in the, you know, sometimes on the main roads. And I tend to stay off that now.
So that's a meditation in itself.
It is.
You've got the whir of the wheels, you've got the pumping of the legs.
Very much so, it is. It's a very...
You go off into a little zone.
Oh, it is. And I cannot tell you how good you feel when you get back. There is no greater cup of tea than when you've got back after a 20, 30K or 50 or 100K ride. There is no greater fish and chips in the world than when, you, when you're hungry on a bicycle and dive. And there is no greater shower at night than when you've come and done some exercise.
Hot and sweaty.
Hot and, you're correct, exactly. You know.
I always finish up by asking people... And this might have to do with cycling or not have to do with cycling.
Sure.
What would you say to people who are just retired?
I would basically say if you have interests, whether it be golf or sailing or whatever, wonderful. Keep doing them and, in fact, use the time. But if you have suddenly found yourself in a situation where you worked all your life and gained all you wanted to gain out of that, but suddenly find yourself in a situation, if you find that purpose, you know, that 100 of, you know, like I do with 100 countries, but if you do it with cycling, you know, if you do, if you get a bike and just go out there and do this, all the cycle paths and all the exploration of Melbourne, just once a week at least, twice a week, at least you have something to plan for, something to look forward to. And if your partner, if you have one, wants to join you, great. And if not, please do it, you know, naturally yourself. And at least you have stories to tell when you come back home at night and everything. But work was 8 hours to 10 hours a day. And suddenly there's sometimes in some people's lives can be quite a void when they retire. And I've seen, you know, a lot of that in my travels around the world. And but I saw anybody who took up cycling and used the bike as an adventure, as a small or big, it was nothing but positive made. I have nothing but happy people coming into the Ivanhoe Cycle Shop in Hallam. You know, it's just they're buzzing and it's a wonderful, positive thing.
Does the cycle shop have a internet presence?
Yes, massively so. It, in fact, the whole shop works off a lot of discounting on the bikes, as in online.
So is there some URL you want
just,
to tell us?
You just look up Ivanhoe Cycles Hallam and or Ivanhoe Cycles. We have two stores. Wonderful place. And you'll walk in and you've never seen so many bikes. I thought I'd gone to bike heaven when I walked in. 500
bikes. This is how I met Mark. I walked in. Amazing. Bikes from ceiling. A lot of bikes.
And just to get back to this thing on the rail trails, I cannot tell you how good they were. And in 1965, a horrible man called Beeching in England shut down over 8,000 miles of railway lines. In England, he said they weren't economical and so on, and they lay derelict all through my childhood. And then in 1977, a couple started a charity called Sustrans and basically have now, in 30 years, converted the 8,000 miles of rail lines and canal towpaths into cycle paths. You can cycle from the southernmost tip of England to Glasgow, into the Highlands, all on these railway lines and stuff. So people are doing these holidays all over the world. And if you're retired and naturally, you know, have a bit of money, whether it be here in Victoria or around the world, you know, go to England, go to Europe and see what's out there and so on.
Yes,
oh,
yeah.
It's amazing.
Mark, thank you very much. I'm sure you've talked a few people into cycling and I'm going to come in and have a look at the bikes. As I said, I'm a motorbike person, but I might have to give it a whirl, I think.
Definitely. There is a risk of getting fit on them, so watch
yes,
that. And stuff
risk.
Like that. The risk, yeah. Excellent. So,
that's
thank
been
you.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
Thank
excellent.
You. All right. Well, there you go. Whether you want to go down the shops or ride around the world, the opportunity is there for everybody. Doesn't really matter what age you are, if you're just in basic good health, you can do it. As you heard, we strayed a long way from just simply bicycles and cycling. And you can tell from the way Mark talks about it that purpose is what gets him up in the morning. Purpose is a very big thing in his life. And it may be his individual purpose, or in fact your individual purpose, or some philanthropic purpose, and he's taken part in lots of charity rides and raised a lot of money doing that. In recent episodes,
We seem to have talked about purpose a lot, and it becomes basic when you're retired, when you've left work and are looking around for what's the next thing in my life, what's the next thing in this phase, this last third of my life. And purpose, together with something to look forward to, seems to be the key. It's not an extreme sport, and it's not extremely expensive. $600 or $800 Australian seems to be able to get you a very satisfactory bike and something you can enjoy yourself on. If you really get right into it, you can always trade up later on. And I notice on the Ivanhoe Cycles site that they sell pre-loved bikes. I haven't delved into it to see what they are or whether they're appropriate, but there you go. They seem to be able to sell online, so wherever you are, have a look at their site and see whether they have something that would suit you. No, I'm not getting a kickback for this, folks, but I'm just thankful that Mark and they have been able to enlighten me and enlighten all of us about the cycling world. Now, I'm going to put their website address up on the page so you can find that. There's one thing I'm really relieved about. If I get into this, I don't have to wear lycras. Lycras are not flattering for people who are, let's call us, senior citizens. Anyhow, I'm very pleased that you listened to this, and thank you for coming to the site. Leave me a message at the bottom of the page in the reply box. Tell us what you think about cycling, what you think about the interview with Mark, and whether you can see yourself becoming as fanatical as he obviously is. And press the share button at the bottom. I'd really appreciate it if you would do that. So, as always, that's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. I look forward to your company next week. I'll see you then.
I like that.
Want to give that a go for sure.
Ian, that was terrific.
That was interesting. What a good idea.